right, so I would like to do a couple, two or three things, and so that you leave with, I hope, a strengthening for your faith, first in the church and then in God, science and God, and then in your relationship with the Lord, the fourth dimension that I talk about a lot. Jesus said, Peter, I found my church on you. He only founded one church, obviously, because there can only be one God, one truth, one morality. There's one. There's not different ones. And so that's why he established one church. And people forget that there was only one church for 1,000 years. Here we are 2,000 years after Jesus. For the first half, there was only one church. Jesus didn't tell the apostles, here's what you're supposed to name it. So you guys decide. So we see that in Antioch, they were called Christians. So I guess it was the Christian church. And then Paul says that in Romans that a persecution broke out against the followers of the way. So they were also known as the way, followers of the way. And they started calling themselves Catholic in about the year 100, about 70 years after Jesus died. Catholic just means universal. It's a Roman, a Latin word that means universal. Jesus died for everyone. And his church is for everyone. And so have faith. Have faith in his church. Pope Leo is, I can't remember how many popes we've had, 280 something or something like that. And we have a list of all of them, all the way back to Peter. And that's why the Eucharist is the Eucharist. So we're hoping one day we're always in dialogue with the other religions and say, you know, that does mean that we need to come back around the Eucharist. This is really Christmas. This is really God. So have faith in the church and in the church's teachings. The Holy Spirit guides the church in faith and morality. That doesn't mean that Pope Leo is going to be perfect, that I'm going to be perfect. But when we teach in faith and morality, then the Holy Spirit guides us. Because if the Pope and the bishops, if they were to mess up, then you guys would all be going the wrong way. So have faith in the church. And then the second thing is have faith in faith. Because I know a lot of people today, they say you either have to choose faith or you have to choose science. And, well, obviously, science is clear. And so I'm going to believe in science. I'm not going to believe in God. I'm not going to believe in faith. And what I would like, hopefully, you to leave with tonight is that science proves the existence of God. It's the first law of thermodynamics. I don't know what that means. But it is. It's the first law of thermodynamics, which says you can't get something from nothing. You can only transform it. You can only take what is and then transform it. And every one of us had a beginning. And so that's the first law of thermodynamics. So if you say there's no God, there's no uncreated being that could create something out of nothing, then you're saying that the universe created itself out of nothing, and you're going against science, the first law of thermodynamics, and you can't go against it. So if you're a science, if you believe in science, I totally believe in science. I believe in everything. But I believe that our Heavenly Father created science. He created the sun and the moon and gravity, E equals MC squared, and all the periodic table of elements. He created it all. And so we're just discovering what he already created in creation, the laws of physics. And so I think what they're trying to do now is they say, okay, we're kind of stuck here because we know something can't come from nothing, and that points to an uncreated being. And we don't want to believe that. We don't want to believe in God. And so what they're saying now is there's a quantum vacuum. I don't know what that means either, but that's what it is. It's a quantum vacuum, which means empty space, empty space. But space is something. So they call it nothing. So they call it nothing, empty space, quantum, empty space, and it has inherent energy. This empty space, this nothing has inherent energy in it that can come out, and it could create something out of nothing. Here's the problem I have with that. You just said that inherent energy exists. Where did it come from? Inherent energy cannot create itself. So somebody had to create the inherent energy that's in the void or that's in the nothingness. So you're stuck again. And so I really want to encourage you, believe. Believe. Science proves the existence of God. And what they'll say is, you know, I only believe in science, so that means this whole manger thing and this whole angels and all that, this whole story, it's a fairy tale. That's what they will say. The whole Bible is a fairy tale. It's made up by people who just couldn't handle life on this planet. So they felt like, we need to invent God because life is so difficult and life is so scary and unsure. We'll just invent these things. No. And then when you look at the amazing order that we see in the universe, you realize that, this God isn't impersonal. He's not like Star Wars energy, the Force, right? He's not like the Force. The Force isn't a person. It doesn't have a mind. It can't think. It's just a power. And you take it for yourself and you use it for bad.
Darth Vader, Luke.
Or you use it for good. Luke. That's what you do with it. And no, God's not an energy force. But a lot of times scientists who say, people say, I'm atheist, but I still believe in spirit. I believe in the cosmic energy of the universe. I believe in the cosmic spirit that runs throughout all people. And Jesus was just really good at tapping into it. And you can tap into it too. I'm tapping into it. I am manifesting abundance. So that's man trying to be God. But no. When you look at the beautiful order of things, and then you look at how beautiful everything is at every level, from the stars to the sun to the moon to the planets to the sky to the clouds, the trees, the birds, and then all the way down on the earth, and then under the earth too, aquifers and caverns, and then under the sea. Everything is beautiful. Well, this God's pretty good. He's pretty smart to make everything beautiful. So he's a person. He's a person. He has a mind. He has a will. And then Jesus says not only that, he's love. God is love. And that's why you all want love. Deep down, you want love. You say you want money, and you want a great job, and you want the 49ers to win the Super Bowl. They might. Well, they've got a good record. You see, you say you want all the things of this planet. They've never made you happy. But what you really want is love, if you're honest about it. Because if you have love, starting with the love of Jesus Christ, because that's divine love, and then you have the love of your spouse and the love of your children, the love of your family, you're going to be happy because love is what life is all about. It's about relationship. Lastly, I think I wanted to say that, you know, if God doesn't exist, why are human beings always talking about him? Why are they always looking for him? I can't remember ever hearing about a group of people getting together to go out looking for unicorns. We're going to go hunt for unicorns and we want to have one for a pet. I would say they don't exist. They exist on paper, they exist in movies, but they're not out there in the forest. Nobody talks about going to get unicorns. And nobody goes out to look for unicorns because they don't exist. Human beings don't go out for things that they know don't exist. So if God doesn't exist, why are we interested? If we all know it's not real, then why do we talk about God? Why are we looking for God? Every culture has pursued the divine in some form. Even Buzz Lightyear wanted to go to infinity and beyond. Even the atheists or people who might make movies, Avatar, did you go see Avatar? I saw the first one. I didn't see there's three now. I didn't see the third one. And I guess an avatar is you in another form. Is that right? It's you and you go, it's like your alter ego, your alter person. You go into another plane, right? Another plane of existence. And then you're there. And I think you're always better than you were here in your normal form. That's an avatar. Your avatar is in another place, another existence. And they're just looking for God. They're stuck. They feel stuck. And that's what happens with atheists and people who just don't believe. Because they say, I can only believe in science. That's these three dimensions. So those who are visiting, I talk a lot about that. We live in height, width, wider than most of us want to be, and depth. That's what we live in, time and space. And everywhere we live in this place governed by the laws of physics, of nature. And it's height and width and depth. This is where we are. And that's all I believe in. I don't believe in anything spiritual, only these three dimensions. There is no fourth dimension. But you know what happens with that? You get stuck because you can't find your way out. You try for years and years and years, and you still feel limited. Remember a while back, I said that I took my computer down to Chico because it was so old and it wasn't bringing up my emails. And so the young man looked at it. He looked like he was about 25, 30 years old, super smart, you know, computers. And he looked up. He says, "Yeah, this is your computer. It's like T-Rex. Your operating system is T-Rex." And I said, "Well, that's 20,000 years ago. It's not going to work now." And he said, "No, that's why it's not. It's not, the operating system isn't going to be supported. You need a new computer." So that's why I got a new computer. And I was dressed like this, my collar. And he said, "Where are you a pastor? You're a pastor?" I said, "Yeah, up in Paradise." And he said, "You know, I wish I had faith. I wish I believed. I don't believe. You know, there are nice atheists." He's nice, very nice guy, very respectful. He said, and he was envious. He said, I wish I could believe. I just can't believe." And I said, "Wow, that's interesting." So he was sad about it because he was feeling trapped in these three dimensions. And he says, so he's looking at his future going, "What's it all about? And I'm not going to find any answers." Because the answers would be in the fourth dimension, you know, the divine dimension, the divine nature. Christopher Hitchens was okay with being an atheist and not believing in God his whole life. So he was one of the most popular atheists these last 50 years around the world, born in the United Kingdom and then came to the United States. And he was an atheist, but he was also an author and a politician, or he was a writer on politics. And he died in 2011 of esophageal cancer, which is very painful, very painful. And he said, a person could be an atheist and wish that belief in God were correct. You could wish it. That's kind of that young man, I think, down in Chico. I'd like to believe. I wish I could. He said, you could, but an anti-theist, which is him, Christopher Hitchens, is someone who is relieved that there's no evidence for such an assertion. So he went through his life relieved that there's no God. Relieved that there's no religion, even though he was going directly against the first law of thermodynamics. He believed in science, and yet he was going against it. And at the end of his life, so he was trapped his whole life. He was stuck in these three dimensions, in his broken, fallen human nature, because we're broken and we're fallen. And he never found the light. He never found out how to get out of it. And at the end of his life, he couldn't write his voice. He just whispered a couple words, and he said, his last two words were, "Capitalism, disappear." Something like that, disappear. So that was his political philosophy. I guess he liked socialism or communism. He didn't like capitalism. And I was thinking, 62 years old, you're dying of cancer, and that's the best you can do? That's all you have to say at the end of your life? "Capitalism, I hate it." And then you die? Wow, talk about being stuck and limited and unhappy in the end. But he held on to it because he said, "Well, I've gone this far. I may as well go all the way." I hope that Jesus had mercy on him. I hope that before he passed over the veil, that Jesus appeared to him and said, "Are you really sure, Christopher, that you want to deny me? Because if you do, you will go to hell. But I'm giving you one last chance, like I did with Judas. Gave him one last chance. I'll forgive you too, Christopher. You're going to go to purgatory for an awful long time, but I'll forgive you." I don't know if Christopher accepted that or not. And in the end, I think if I was, you know, debating with Christopher Hitchens, and I'm not a good debater, so I just kind of, one thing I like is that I get to preach, and people don't get to, like, argue all the way back. I don't like that. And I think if I was debating with him, and he has his points, and I have my points, first law of thermodynamics and all that, and he's right, and I'm right. And then I think in the end, I would say, "You know, Mr. Hitchens, in the end, you will never understand me because you have freely chosen to remain a man-man. And I have freely chosen to become a man-God. I am a different species than you. I am divine in my humanity. You are stuck in your humanity." And that's Christmas. The divine comes into our humanity, our broken humanity, and he says, "Let me fill you with divine life. I can make you more divine than human. And you'll be so happy. You'll know the meaning. You'll know my love, divine love. You'll have knowledge. You'll have wisdom. You'll have virtue. Your relationships will heal. You will heal. You'll understand the purpose of sports and money and marriage and family. And you'll order your life accordingly. And you will be happy. You'll be happy. And you will know that you belong to me, to the divine God of the universe. And you will love me as I love you. And you'll look forward to being with me. Wow. We are man-God. We are different species. Always remember that. Remind yourself of that. You are a different species. And so, Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, soon the Magi, you know, they all open themselves up. They all open themselves to God. And that's what we have to do. You do have to empty yourself. You do have to repent of sin. You do have to look at the false gods you have in your life. You do have to move away from those things. And then you do have to invite God in. And that young man in the computer store, I wish I could believe. I would say, you can. You can. But you have to be willing to move out of your three dimensions where you are stuck. And you do have to be willing to open up to the fourth dimension because God loves you. And that's why Christmas is so merry and why I can say to all of you, Merry Christmas. I believe.